This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe the Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Edgar Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church with Reverend Jimmy Crisson.
Good morning. God bless you and welcome to worship this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, as we enter this Christmas season, may our hearts and lives be filled with the hope, peace, joy, and love that is only found through Jesus our Christ. He is the reason for the season. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Go ahead and take out your orange sheet, and please be sure you have got a communion cup to enjoy later. So just be sure you have one of these little guys. Join us now as we entitle this one, The Cleanup Crew. Our lists are long. Even in this strange mess where we live these days, and we want to do it right, we want to be safe, but we want to be able to enjoy the season. We've got work to do to put right what has gone wrong, to heal what is broken, to mend the relationships, and to prepare for the company that will come. The prophet Isaiah reminded us that there is work to be done. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. When God comes in, then healing is to be found. But we need to make the way. We need to open the door into our lives. So we light these candles of our faith that the God we worship is not far from us and that we can be clear the way that God to come and dwell with us. We light these candles in faith that company is coming. O come, Emmanuel. Amen. As we prepare to go before the Lord in prayer this morning together, I would like for us to take a special moment to remember that tomorrow is December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, some call it. Many of those who served in that greatest generation and fought a world war on soil far from home have now gone on to be with the Lord, having joined the church triumphant, marking the passing of a generation who knew conflict, strife, difficulty, pain, suffering, doing without. Let us not forget. Let us remember. For these difficult times in the life of a nation equal difficult times in the lives of its people. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we pause for a moment to remember those who have given their lives for the very freedoms we exercise this morning. Let us remember, let us not forget. Father, that freedom as a nation isn't free, and that redemption through Christ cost Him His life. Freedom, Father, isn't free. For they gave their lives that we may have religious liberties, freedoms, and a nation, one nation under God. And Father, we as Christians believe in Jesus Christ who gave His life for us. And we expect and anticipate and look forward to His return. But in the meantime, Father, we need to be about Your work. We need to be about hearing from You and following. We need to be about loving one another as You have loved us. We need to be about the business of touching each other's lives, of caring for one another. We need to be about the business of encouraging, not tearing down one another. We need to be about the business of offering hands of healing instead of contention. We need to be about truth. For Christ said of Himself three things was He, the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we as Christians need to be about the ministry and mission that You have called us to through Jesus Himself to go and to proclaim the good news. If you will, to follow in the footsteps of John the Baptist, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. John's proclamation would be that of the coming of the baby Jesus, the man Christ, the risen Lord. But ours is, behold, He comes. Though we know not when, we believe the promise. Father, forgive us our sins. Give us grace to forgive others. Father, give us strength to be Your witness of the good news. To tell people that Jesus is the only way. And Father, I believe He is the answer to many prayers. He is the answer to divisions, hatred, and hostility. He is the answer to division and disharmony. He's the answer to confusion and lies. He is the answer for the lives of us all. And Father, we pray for one another without ceasing. We pray for our church and churches in this town and around the world, where Christ is preached, proclaimed, and believed to be the way, the truth, and the life, and coming again. And Father, we pray for those who are bold in mission and ministry. May we support them with our prayers. We pray for our nation during this difficult, difficult time, not only with a pandemic that is around us, with loved ones who are afraid, uncertainty of economics, uncertainty of leadership. Father, we pray that there would be morality, integrity, and honesty. And Father, we would pray that we would be on your side, not that you would be on our side. That we would hear the words of Abraham Lincoln when he was asked if God was on the side of America. And he answered, "I pray we are on the side of God." And Father, the side of God will have mercy, it'll have honesty, it'll have integrity, it'll have morality, it'll have selflessness and service. It'll be about seeking your truth, your way. Father, may that be true in our hearts and lives and in the lives of others in this world. Father, we pray for those who serve our country. We pray for those who are facing surgeries, uncertainties, and tests. Father, we pray for those who care and are caregivers. Father, we pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture today is Mark 1, verses 1 through 8, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now that John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Advent is a wonderful season, and I love tradition. It seems that tradition for some is bothersome, worrisome, cumbersome, is to be washed away, pushed away, done away with. But I love tradition. I love the tradition of putting up a Christmas tree. I remember growing up as a kid, my job was putting the icicles on. How many of you remember the plastic icicles? The only thing was, I didn't get to put ornaments on. That wasn't part of what I got to do. But I had to put the icicles on to certain specifications, one at a time. I think the whole purpose was patience And if they wasn't looking, was the preferred method. But tradition, the nation of Israel stood on a lot of traditions, and those traditions stemmed out of their religious faith and their journey, which had been going on for about 2,000 or plus years by the time we get Mark's gospel. They had been looking for the fulfillment of the prophecies, particularly of the prophet Isaiah. Of course, that's who Mark quotes here. But I want you to put something else in your mind this morning. Anytime in your Bible, in the Word of God, that you hear a prophecy, I don't want you to hear the word prophecy. I want you to hear the word promise. Prophecy makes it sound like, I don't know, it just doesn't sound the same as promise. But it's a covenant. And Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And we know that. But the people of Israel in the day of Jesus, in the day of John the Baptist, particularly this morning, they were living in anticipation. They were waiting. You see, they knew the signs. They knew the prophecies, the promises of God. They knew the words of Isaiah. And there will be one coming, proclaiming the way of the Lord, one crying in the wilderness. They knew that that was the last one. They knew that when that happened, that the Messiah was soon to appear. You see, they were not dreading the appearing of the Messiah. They were looking forward to it. They were hoping in it. They were trusting in the promises of God. For they knew that God had kept His word. They had went over the Red Sea on dry land. And they had watched the great army of the Pharaoh swept away when the waters came back. They were guided through the wilderness and kept provisioned for 40 years. For 40 years. They knew that when Joshua blew the trumpet, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They knew when they lifted the arm of Moses before God, the battle went their way. They knew the promises. They remembered the temple. They remembered the mercy seat. They remembered the pillar of fire and the clouds of smoke. They remembered their tradition. They knew God's promise well. And they awaited it. And then it says, and John appeared, poof, in the wilderness. I don't think that's really how it went. I don't think John just appeared. I don't know why Mark chose that wording, but anyway, John appears. He's dressed strangely. You need to think about this for a minute. He is the son of a priest in the temple, Zechariah. The son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. She had gotten pregnant in old age when it was way past her years of bearing a child. Israel remembers the tradition of Abraham and Sarah, who too would get pregnant in her old age and bear a son, the promise fulfilled. And she had this son who was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And indeed, we have the tradition that we as Christians hold on to, that when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, when she was 6 months with child with John, when Mary spoke, the baby leaped in her womb. To me, that's a good argument for late-term abortion to not be allowed. That'll probably get me banned on Facebook. So we've got their tradition. They're waiting. And here's John, who is dressed in a camel hair coat. Guess how he got that camel coat, folks? There wasn't Amazon. Believe it or not, there wasn't. Do you know what Nicholas asked me this morning? He said, "Papa, you're pretty old." He said, "Have you ever drove a car that had a gear shift on the column with reverse and everything?" I said, "Three on a tree, bro." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah. That's how many of you drove three on the tree? God bless you. That's what we should bring back, and there'll never be another teenager driver. Especially if you'll have it like them old cars we had, where when you got up, you come out of the first gear, you had to do a little wiggle to get the forks lined up and get it in. Anybody else had one of them? I guarantee you. And when you go to get in reverse, you sometimes had to get out and get a stick and pry the little levers apart. We'd fix them, wouldn't we? Let's start writing in cursive and driving three on the tree. Watch what happens. They'll either adapt or they'll just stand there and look it up on Google. You know, whatever. I don't even know if you can find it on Google. But there is the traditions. And John with his camel hair coat, he had to harvest that camel. And then he had a leather belt. That was a leather camel's belt. It's quite a little. And he's eating locusts and wild honey. That is a living off the land. He's a rough character. By the way, there ain't no barbers out there. Think about it. He probably looks a mess. But then it says by Mark, "And there was John, a voice in the wilderness." Tradition again. I remember the nation of Israel in the wilderness before the promised land. And later, I remember Jesus, after being baptized by John, was called out into the wilderness. But John's in the wilderness, and he's calling out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make the crooked path straight." In other words, straighten up, people. Get ready. He's coming. I'm going to baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And they came out, and I underlined something. I didn't catch it till this morning until Alma was reading it. And it said all of the people were coming out. All. It didn't say some. It didn't say part. All of the people in Judea and Jerusalem were coming out to be baptized, and they were repenting of their sins. We don't know what repentance is today. We sort of have repentance is not an apology. A repentance isn't, "I'm so sorry, God, for having done that." How many of you know what an apology really is anymore? Yeah, well, we kind of gotten, might not have it so good. I'm going to use little Nick again this morning. Little Nick, I broke your bottle. "I'm so sorry." Is that an apology? That's a confession. That isn't an apology. "Nicholas, I am so sorry I broke your bottle. Will you forgive me?" Apology yet? Nope. "Nicholas, I broke your bottle. Will you forgive me? I will not do it again. I will get you another one." You see, we forget that we not only have to confess it, we not only have to own it, but we have to make amends for it. It isn't enough to say, "Oh God, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that." Yeah, he already knows that, and it's nice to start out with the confession, but how about owning it? Now let's look at the way it's done in the world today. "Nicholas, I'm so sorry I broke your water bottle, but you shouldn't have left it sitting there. It's his fault. Isn't that the way it works? I've learned something. If something is sitting somewhere and you don't move it, it pretty well stays there. I haven't been part of an earthquake yet, so that could shake it off of there. But then the earthquake broke it, not me. Do you see what I'm saying, church? We as Christians, not only do we need to confess it, we need to admit it, we need to own it. And that's what these people were doing. They were coming, confessing their sins, praying and repenting and turning their lives around. You see, if we want the second coming of Christ to be a joyous occasion, something that we look forward to, something that we can say, come, Lord Jesus, come, then we've got to be ready in our hearts. And it can't be sacrificial. It can't be so-so. It's got to be the real deal. When we do something wrong, we need to repent. Not just confess it, but turn away from it. Do a 180 and get it out of there. The tradition, we have gotten too light as a Christian church today. We've made it too easy to be a Christian. We've cheapened the cross. We've cheapened the grace. We've cheapened the table of God's blessings. We have cheapened it all down and made it, y'all come. We just want you to come. We've waffled on our values. We've waffled on the truth. We've waffled on everything. It's too late. We need to stop, church. Have you paid attention? Our Judeo-Christian beliefs are under attack in a very land that was based on Christian beliefs. It's even being tried to be erased from the history books that George Washington prayed over this country. That he went to a church to draw up the documents. Well, we want fellow Christian principles that every person is endowed with inalienable rights by his Creator. We've made it too easy. I think Wesley would be appalled today at what he would even see in our denomination. Whose fault is that? Whose watch is it? Somebody asked me if I was going to have a fluffy, nice sermon this morning. I said, maybe. For some, maybe not for others. Church, we can't keep watering it down. It says what it says. A lie will not save you. But the truth, Jesus said of himself, he was three things: the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by him. And they came out to John. And John baptized them with water, not for the remission of sins, but as a symbol that they were truly repentant. And he said, the one that's coming after me, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. How many of you enjoy witnessing, telling people about Jesus? I do. I want me one of the t-shirts that says, I may start talking about Jesus any moment. Because I will. I don't care what I want to talk. I can talk to you about your car engine, but we'll get to Jesus. I can talk to you about your 4EOD transmission or your 3 in the tree. We'll get to Jesus. Somewhere in there. Somewhere along that way. We'll get into a faith conversation, I promise. And maybe that's why people don't hang around me, Kerry. Maybe they know I'm going to get to the Jesus thing, they're going to be a little uncomfortable. How many of you find it hard to be a Christian? Anybody besides me? How many of you find it hard to decide what God's will is? Yeah, discern it. How many of you find it hard to figure out what character defects do I have? I can see all of yours, but which ones do I have? You know, you got... Wait a minute, let's get back to me. Never mind, let's get back. Yeah, isn't that how we do it? Yeah. How many of us have trouble with that besides me? You want a good piece of this? John the Baptist washed enough people with water, but it didn't get rid of a single sin. Their repentance did, and God's grace did. Their hearts were prepared. But Jesus said, He came as a baby. He ascended into heaven. He said, in like manner you saw Him go, in like manner He will return. We don't know when. But I would hope that every one of us are ready to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I struggle, and I stumble, and I fail. I wear this to remind me that I am one under God's yoke, that His will is mine, and mine is not my own. And I struggle. I make mistakes. I don't do what I should, and I do what I shouldn't. And I bet I'm not alone. It seems sometimes undaunting and impossible. But then I hear something that was written 2,000 years ago where the great apostle Paul said, I too struggle. And I remember James said, it's by faith we are saved. And Paul said, not by works, lest we would brag about it. And then I remember Jesus saying, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. But with God, all things are possible. All things? Me too. All things? You too? And then I remembered what John said. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, it's that baptism that every single person who truly trusts and believes, they receive. And in the face of insurmountable odds, God's at work. In the face of our imperfection, God is graceful. In face of our struggles, our trials, our tribulations, our stumbling and our falling, God's grace never stops wrapping its arms around us. The Holy Spirit never gives up working on us. And though the devil will tell us we're not worthy and that we are such a mess up, we need to know that Jesus said, but I still died for you. I'm still with you. And I'm sending my Holy Spirit to encourage you, that you can encourage others. And I pray that you'll tell everybody else what a mess you are, but you're loved by me. That you make mistakes, but you're forgiven in the name of Jesus. That it is the blood that I shed, not that you do, that is redemptive. We all make mistakes. But I, for one, am okay. Because I have at least tried to not keep wallowing in it, but to seek forgiveness and to make that 180. But I come up short. Please don't put your pastor on a pedestal. I don't want to fall off. And I won't put you on one so that you won't fall off either. But I pray that we let the Spirit move within us, that our heart is ready for that second coming of Christ, and that we are at peace, that we could bow our knees and lift our voice, and with peace that surpasses all understanding, be able to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, may we be ready. May we be ready for your return, but not only ready, but let us await it. Let us be anxious for it. Let us be excited about it. Let us share the good news with the world around us. Let us live our lives with Christian integrity, not imperfections, but admitting our mistakes, owning our mistakes, making amends for our mistakes. Loving each other, lifting each other up, encouraging each other, but letting everybody know that we believe what the Word of God says. Its promises for certain, but also that it's guides for our lives. For Father, our bad decisions don't just affect us, and our good decisions don't just benefit us, but they benefit all, or they hurt all. So let us be true to you in thought, word, and deed. Let us be true to ourselves and know that we are loved by you. Let us hold on to your Spirit within us, that it would help us in our struggle. Give us peace in our doubt, brighten the darkness, and take away the doubt. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, and God bless.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.